I have one more point. We talk about singing, prayer, doctrine, the word preached, the word discussed, two points to that one. The last two are fellowship and breaking bread. Koinonia and breaking bread. Koinonia is that which we have in common. What do we have in common? Christ. What is the basis of our fellowship? Jesus Christ. Everybody hear me? What is the basis of this fellowship?
Christ.
Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be part of this fellowship? You believe in Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you cannot be part of the church.
Amen.
What is the marker that you are a believer in Christ? Faith in Him, expressed through a belief, confession of the mouth, Jesus is Lord, and evidence of that faith through believer's baptism. That's the qualifications for functioning in the New Testament church. That's what it is. Belief in Him, confession of faith, and that faith is evidenced in believer's baptism. Our fellowship is based on Christ. Now, Romans 15:7 says this, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We talk about fellowship. We're talking about relationships now. We are to, those who are in Christ, are to receive one another. One another is that reflexive term, back and forth. We are to receive or accept. You can translate accept. NASB translates that accept. New American does welcome. The idea is to accept. Accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. That is a God-centered relationship. Brothers and sisters, when someone comes into this assembly and they confess Christ, we are to accept them as Christ accepted us. Question, how did Christ accept you? While you were yet a sinner. While you were hostile to God. Why you never even thought about a lot of the issues that you hold dear now. Amen? This is what is called, I call it a grace-based relationship. God accepts us on the basis of grace. And that stands in contrast to being accepted by the basis of law. A law-based relationship is this. I accept you if you're good enough. I accept you on the basis of works. And hence, I will fellowship with those only who I deem good enough. Do you see the stark contrast? And we are always in danger of doing this. How many parents ever struggle with accepting their kids as Christ accepts you at the moment of their sin? I know I have. That's a law-based approach to parenting. In contrast to a grace-based approach. My son, I love you. I will never stop loving you. Because Christ loved me in this way, I give you undeserved favor. I give you mercy. I withhold judgment. At a fundamental heart level, I accept you and I receive you. Brothers and sisters, that's how we're to accept one another. The basis of every relationship is what? I like you. I accept you. I accept you. Can you have a relationship or do you want to have a relationship with someone who you know doesn't like you? No. You may endure in that. And we do have to endure in those things. But we accept one another on the basis of grace. Okay. Not law. So if someone comes into the assembly and is rich, we don't butter up to them because they're rich. James talks about this. Someone comes into the assembly because they're poor. We don't say, here, go sit under my footstool. Someone who comes in and clearly has it all together, at least they look like it. We don't just, oh, come over to my house. If we don't also do the same to the person who comes into this assembly and doesn't have it all together. See what I'm saying? We naturally like beautiful people. Beautiful in the sense of orderliness and togetherness. But we're to accept one another as Christ accepted us. And He accepted us as a bunch of dirty, rotten scoundrels that we are. To the glory of God. That's a God-centered relationship. This is hard stuff. This is the basis of our fellowship. Christ is the basis of our fellowship. Now, if I stop here, I'm in error. What does grace teach us to do? I would suggest grace teaches us to walk in truth. Okay? So we need to make a distinction. This is the foundation. Grace. I love you for who you are, because that's what God loves me. Agape love. But grace teaches us to walk in truth. So what is the relationship between grace and law? What is the relationship between grace and law? Well, for those who have grace, they love the law of God, because the law of God teaches them how to please God, how to love God. Jesus, it was in the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. I think one of the most important things for a church, for a family, is the mixture of grace and truth. When I would go into a church, I would always want to know, are they gracious? Are they truth? Full of truth? And Christ's grace would soften His truth. And His truth would harden or firm up His grace. And He always knew exactly what to do. To the Pharisees, He spoke truth. He spoke law to the proud. But to the humble, He gave grace. And He always did it right. Brothers and sisters, we're prone to do the opposite. He held out His hand. I love you. He gave them grace while He rebuked them. He didn't withhold the rebuke. It was amazing to study how Jesus was full of grace and truth. And so grace motivates. For those who really understand grace, saved by grace, unmerited favor, it motivates you to seek truth. It motivates us to seek truth. Titus 2 says this. Titus 2:11-12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And what does that grace do? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldliness, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see it there? Grace teaches me to live righteously. Grace teaches me to deny myself ungodly lust. Well, wait a minute. If you are living in grace, there should be no boundaries for everything. You just accept everybody and have no truth. And that's much of the message of grace. No! Grace motivates me. I accept you, and because I accept you, I am going to speak the truth in love that you may grow. But I do it at your interest and heart to the glory of God. Ephesians 4. Speaking the truth in love that you may grow. That's a grace-based relationship. It motivates that. Before the Ten Commandments is given, this is a message for all Scripture. I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Right? That's grace. God shows them His saving grace. And then He gives them, this is how you walk. That's why we say, it's in that tone that we say, I love the law. And people misunderstand that. Why do so many misunderstand that? So many misunderstand that because they're living according to law. They're not understanding grace. And so when you come and present truth, all they think is law without grace. And it crushes them. And so I'm emphasizing, if you understand grace, you understand law. As a motivation. Because you've already been given unmerited favor. You come to God and you love one another. And you walk in truth. That's a healthy relationship with God and with each other. You see that? So important. Question. Do you use the truth to love others? Or do you use the truth to club others? That's probably a good indication. Do you use the truth to love others? Or do you use the truth to club others? If you ever understand God's grace, we use the truth to love others. Now that love does not veer away from conflict. Because in a community that has this kind of grace-based relationship, the koinonia is in Christ, you're actually starting to love one another, you're getting involved in each other's homes, what's going to happen? Conflict. Well, I thought you come, we all just agree, this is wonderful. Yeah, we all agree about a lot of things, but we also all disagree about a lot of things too. You know, and we naturally love people. Oh, they're wonderful. They're just like me. But then we find out,
oh, they're not just like me. They don't do this, and they don't do this, and they don't do this. And that's going to press us to keep our koinonia in Christ. See that? Keep our love in Christ. And to do what Scripture says, bear with one another in love. So, get used to this, brothers and sisters. Community brings conflict. But conflict in Christ is resolved as we seek and be gracious one to another and love one another. We resolve conflict. As we resolve conflict, we grow in humility, better understanding, and maturity. Woo! Maturity is what we're after here. As we work through this stuff together, that's the only way to be mature. Now, some people will cut and run from that process. Some people will not resolve conflict. They'll stew, they'll stuff, they'll get bitter, their feelings will get hurt, and eventually they'll pine away. And we've seen that happen. It's a tragedy, and I hate it. They give up on their what God is doing in their life. It's very sad. We want to be pursuing and loving and accepting, okay? And give God the glory, speak the truth in love, and then leave the results to God. Don't always try to figure everybody's motive. Better not to judge their motive. Why do they do that? Unless they tell you, guess what? You don't know. Okay? You don't know. And if you want to find out, ask them. What could you do for ask them? Then don't worry about it. If you want to go, ask them. Why did you just walk by me and not say hi? What, because I didn't see you? Sorry. Right? I don't think they like me anymore. Why? Because they don't look at me anymore. Did they tell you that? No, I just feel that. Now, I know women have great intuition here, and oftentimes there's something to that intuition. I don't have all that intuition. Tell me. And if you have that intuition, go seek it out. And if you don't want to seek it out, then let it go before God. If you're hindered before the person, you're not right. This is how these things work. This is fellowship. This is koinonia. This is love Christ, love one another. We keep a heart focused on this stuff. Test yourselves to see. Resolve the conflict. Is there unresolved conflict? The breaking of the bread is we're to be in harmony with Christ, with one another. That's what communion is all about. Communion in the community. Communion in the community. This is what it means. We are in communion with God, so we have community one to another. In this fellowship, we delight in each other. And I love that. I love being with you. I absolutely love spending all afternoon here. It is an amazing time of fellowship. And I trust that's your heart. Right? We love to eat together. I can't wait to be just talking and fellowshipping. And that is so refreshing. We gotta go. We gotta guard that! Satan wants to kill that! I'm talking, that's fellowship. And if you're not part of that, why aren't you? Many drift away, and that's the first thing to go, the fellowship. They leave the fellowship of the saints. Some kind of wedge happened there. I don't know what. You check your heart. Is there a wedge there? Are you coming here this morning? I can't wait to pray, to hear the word, to sing, to fellowship. Is that your heart, or is there a wedge? That's the search your heart time for communion. That's what you do before God. Fellowship is based on a heart-level commitment to these things, okay? We have to always address it as a heart-level commitment, amen? That way we don't get caught up in all of the stuff. We're going to disagree, all right? Let's work at a heart-level commitment. As we work through the conflict, we'll see conflict be resolved. An example would be that, let's talk about the missionary family that came here a couple weeks ago, the Porsche family. The Porsche family, obviously, Joel came in here with some different thinkings of ministry. Obviously, I talked to him. I wouldn't have come here if I didn't talk to him. I discussed it with him. I thought he gave me a really good answer. He came here. When someone is like that, who's not exactly down the line and used to thinking it how we are, we always need to be gracious to that person as we speak the truth in love. Okay? We don't want to be ignorant. We want to be gracious. I want to tell you because Joel just emailed me. We've been dialoguing a little bit. And he is on page with family integration. He's multi-generational. He says this is the way to go. And he's committed to doing it. He's locked into doing it. Amen. So praise the Lord. It's a neat way to resolve conflict and see it bear fruit. But how did we get there? I didn't come talking to him about those things. We talked, we laid a foundation. I met him in Pennsylvania. I'm like, this guy has a foundation. And we kept talking. He kept dialoguing. That's how you build a relationship. You don't just, I mean, you see me here, I give it to you guys as hard as I can because it's the church. I preach the whole word. But in a relationship, you got to look where people are and bring them along. Right? You got to build a foundation. You don't sort of blow someone out of the water. You got to build a relationship, talk about, and keep the dialogue open. So I say this, Christian, always keep your heart open and always keep the conversation open. You never want to have a spirit that's like this. That is never a good spirit. I know, I struggle with that. I struggle with that in relation to parenting. My children, why are they doing that again? But, I mean, that's the key to parenting. An open heart, loving your children. That's the key to husband and wife relationship. Accepting your spouse, liking your spouse, submitting and pursuing. I want to be open to you, right? Have nothing in between. It's the key to any relationship. That's how we do this. So I was excited about the Porches. I want to share that. And I also want to share, we have the Lockwoods coming.
The Lockwood is another missionary family coming next Sunday. Okay? Similar kind of thing. So, the elders, we're stoked. We want to support the Porches. We're praying about a dollar amount. We'll talk about that with the men in the upcoming time here. But the Lockwoods, we also need to be gracious to them when they're here. Right? Men, you can ask them questions. But always make sure you're gracious. Alright? And we'll all be patient with each other as we work out that balance. Because some of you may not be as gracious as I think you should. But I'm going to give you grace because, hey, you know what? I know what it's like to be immature. I'm immature myself. I'm not 40 yet, so get me some slack. I'm working on it.
You know, so I'm trying to be mature by the time I'm 40.
And it's my inside joke with everybody. All right. So that is fellowship. I want to talk about, real quick here, fellowship in children. What is a child's role in the fellowship? Now listen up. Everybody listen. This church, in the church, there's three things you've got to understand or you're gonna miss it and your kids are going to miss it. It's this. Belonging, participating, and teaching. Belonging, participating, and teaching. There's three things that every child needs to understand as they come into this church. They belong here, they are to participate here, and they are to, and the teaching of the word here is this. We teach God's word as an interpretation of life. We teach the scripture to be obeyed. We model that here. That's what today is about. We're modeling. Because the word says this, therefore we do this. Because the word says this, we do this. Men, what do? Deuteronomy 6, you take the word because the word says this, this is how we live our life. You take this model, what we do on Sunday is a paradigm for what happens all week. You take the word and you teach your kids as an interpretation of life, basis of their worldview, this is how you live your life. That's the teaching. Okay? As you give that to your children, this is discipleship, right? It's all the same dynamic. As you give that, what happens? Children must participate in the faith community. Children, and I'm saying this to you because you're prone not to sometimes. When we're singing, what should the children be doing? If your children are not singing, what are they doing here? They need to be participating. If the children are not engaging in meaningful relationships with others, why not? Make it happen. And I know there's problems. God knows. He knows our hearts. I know there's people that church your feelings. I know maybe someone said something they shouldn't have said. I know. I hear some of it. I don't hear all of it. I could never hear all of it. That's why I'm not on social media. Amen. You guys fight it out yourself on social media. Let me know if I need to get involved.
But participation. Remove the boundaries. Remove the barriers. Okay? And what I say to the children, I say to everybody, participate. That means when the preaching is going on, what should everybody be doing? Listening. Not congregating in the back talking. Ladies? Okay? What we're going to do here, we don't have a foyer. And I'm not sad about that. Every church I've been to has a problem with ladies in the back talking. Okay, so I know. And I'm, so we're going to have the same. But you're going to have to bear the heat on this one. We're going to have sections, individual sections set up in the back there. So if you're going to go with your child, you need some privacy, go back there alone. We're not going to have a nursing mother's area. Okay, if you need to be privacy, go back there. If your child is screaming, yes, you need to go outside. Because that's the only place to go if your child is screaming. Other than that, everyone needs to be in here participating, listening. When they're preaching, you listen. Now, I know ladies love the fellowship. Hello! This is the only church I've ever been in that I hear more complaints. We don't have enough time to fellowship. When half of the meeting time is non-scheduled anything. It's just talking and relating and fellowshipping. So when there's preaching going on, that is not the time for the ladies to be gabbing, okay? Can we say amen?
Amen.
And I know it's a hard issue between you and God. I don't place it. I don't even try to look at it. But I actually can see more here. And so with the children and fathers, let's work on this. Let's prime our children. You know, singing the hymns at home is going to prime them to sing the hymns at church. That's what Nathan was saying. Well, why are we, because there's continuity here, okay? That's true of us all. Belonging. How do you get that sense of belonging? We know one of the major problems of children leaving the faith is they were never part of the church. We want to build intergenerational relationships with the young people here. Do you understand how important that is? So that when they're 16, 17, 18, they have relationships with you. I love to see my son talking with the men. He has relationships with them. I have a relationship with many of your children. You see the vision. Oh God, help us to do this. Now I know there are a gazillion barriers to keep this from happening. Everybody has a role here. Everybody has a place here. Everybody fits in this thing. If you're single, if you're married, if you have kids, if you don't have kids, if you're a widow, everybody. Why? Because the basis is Christ and relationship. So the only reason someone doesn't fit in here is if you don't have Christ or you don't want relationships. Amen? Now, there may be some sin that you have to work through, both in the heart of others and in your heart. But that's the basis of Christ in relationship anyway. So children, when we sing, sing with us. When the preaching is going, listen. Children, you show respect by not running in this building. Is this the house of God? No. This is not the house of God. This is a building. This is the house of God. People. Right? We're the temple. We are the temple. To show respect in amongst the temple, children ought not to be running in this place. Is that understood? No, I said it to everybody. Let's help each other. If you see my children running, would you please correct them? And I want to have that spirit here among us all. Is there anyone here, if their child is running, who you don't want us to tell your child not to run? Raise your hand, and we'll make fun of you. I'll come counsel you, alright? It's a shameful thing. If it's a shameful thing for a woman to speak in a church in the discussion time, it's a shameful thing for children to run in the assembly. Alright? We don't want out of control children here. Children are not allowed on the stage. They shouldn't be running around acting crazy. Okay? Now, I am all for children running out there on the grass. Okay? Not in here. So, children in the fellowship. And that's how a child participates. Now, am I going to be legalistic and make that the basis of my relationship with someone? No. Someone just comes in, their child will run around.
You know, we're going to give grace. We want to be gracious. It's going to happen. Okay. But help me at least with my kids, because sometimes they run.
Love one another. Children, or young people, as a culture, we need to redo this. We exalt youth in our culture. So what happens is the youth go first. In this church, we want age to go first. Alright? So even in the speaking, public speaking, men, the older men, then the younger men. Okay? Children, let the adults speak first. Let the adults go first. So it's an opportunity to show honor. Let the adults go first or speak first. Rise before the gray head. I mean, we're just so far removed from this. I am part of the culture, too. I'm part of this. I mean, I'm slacker culture myself. But I'm trying to get a vision for this stuff. You know, rise before the hoary head. Love one another. In the line, children are not to serve themselves if they are 10 and under. Okay? Now, parent, you can just disrespect that and teach your child from the earliest age to rebel against a standard that we set in this church. What's the principle? Everything is basic. The principle is love for one another. Right? You're not going to hurt my feelings if you think that's a stupid standard. But the reason we have that is to show respect for one another. Maybe some of you, this is the first time you ever heard it, so I got to say it. But it's to show respect. We had a problem with little kids coming up there, sticking their hands in their nose and in the food. And we had a chronic problem with that. And we kind of couldn't solve it. Some families, I know your kids don't do it, but some families, their kids did do it. What do you do? Okay, we'll just do this. Okay, kids 10 and under, let your parents serve you. Which, by the way, was the same application made at the at other family integrated assemblies. When I was traveling around, I'm like, oh, this is just too funny. It's like everybody's having the same problem. We're all like thinking about it the same way. So these are the kind of the nuts and bolts of how you live life in a family integrated church. Multi-generational, get involved. I'm going to go right into break bread. I got to shut my mouth. Communion. I can't go into whole theology of communion. I am out of time. You know it's our pattern. You know they had agape love feast. So it's our pattern. We have agape love feast of which we break bread, eating together, sharing a meal together, breaking bread together. That is the focus point of our meeting. As it was in the early church, so it is today. And I can't tell you how significant that is. Side note, food safety. Food safety, you bring it hot. Okay, it should be on a crock pot. Bring it hot. It looks like we have a refrigerator there. If that thing works, we could use that refrigeration. Otherwise, I've always said, if it's something that needs to be on ice, bring your own ice. Keep it cold. Okay, don't let potato salad sit out for 3 hours. All right? Don't let it sit out for 3 hours. So if it's hot, it needs to be in a crock pot. Not in just a warmer blanket that doesn't keep it hot enough. It has to be in an electric device that keeps it stoking hot. We've had outbreaks of food poisoning here because someone didn't do food safety. We have to do food safety. A crock pot is a slow cooker. You can't put raw meat in the morning and expect it to be done. Okay? If it's raw meat, it's got to be cooked all night. Cook it ahead of time. You got to understand how to use a crock pot. Food safety, the amount of food, let's cover that quickly because we don't have enough. What we typically say is this, bring a main dish and a side dish. If everyone brings a main dish and a side dish, there's plenty of food for everybody. Right? Main dish, side dish. So that's kind of the standard of how much food, so that we can have plenty to share. We have guests, we don't want them to have to bring food, but we won't have enough. So those are just some patterns, some practical ways to love God and to love one another. Father, we thank you for the nuts and bolts, Lord. We thank you for the application. Teach us, Lord, in all things to love you to the glory of God, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.